Lord God, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would give me a mouth to preach your word today and us all ears to hear and hearts to receive this message that you have from your word. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. With this short preface, Archbishop Thomas Cranmer began the four sentences of Scripture, the comfortable words, handpicked to bring consolation to those who had just confessed their heavy sins to the Lord as preparation to approach this holy table, the Lord's table. These words might resonate with you. We hear them often in our service of Holy Communion. As chief craftsman of the Book of Common Prayer, Cranmer chose four verses from God's Word ordered with an intentional purpose to convey a message of solace to the burdened, good news of Christ to a church where the truth of the gospel had been obscured throughout the Middle Ages. And Cranmer chose today's passage from the gospel, Matthew 11:28, as the first verse, the first comfortable word. We just heard it read aloud. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a profound, powerful passage. The words of Christ here are a balm for the wounded soul. Whenever I hear these words, feel my own shoulders relax, and I take a sigh of relief. There's something deeply comforting about this address that resonates with every person, whether one literally tired from intense workload, a mother with three screaming children, or maybe a father with three screaming children, as my wife could. They're more likely to scream around me. It's debatable, actually, I'd say that. A wife mourning over her husband lost to cancer, a young man with gut-wrenching, unending guilt, or someone who simply didn't have a good night's sleep, these words have power to bring relief, to bandage the broken heart, to free the downtrodden, to give refreshment and rest. These comforting words themselves, delivered by the very lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, give to us rest. So let's hang on every word today in Matthew 11. Join me there in your Bibles. You can pull out your phone or you can find a Bible in the pew back in front of you. And we're going to camp out in verse 28. Matthew 11:28. Now, I want you first to notice who this is addressed to in particular. The weary. In verse 28, we hear Jesus speak to all who labor and are heavy laden. This is who Jesus is addressing. And as Thomas Cranmer understood, it is those who travail, those who labor and work through pain. And Cranmer intentionally used the word travail to get the emotional dimension that our English term labor sometimes only scratches the surface. The original word depicts those faint from their toil, spent with labor, with heavy burdens and loads. It is being under a yoke of servitude, like cattle or oxen with a heavy wooden bar over the neck and shoulders to pull a massive load. Israelites use this imagery to talk about slavery and heavy manual labor, and Jesus borrows it. Here and elsewhere, he talks about the Pharisees giving heavy loads to others. This person here who travails, who is weary, who has striven towards something to no avail, I want you to think of Sisyphus in Greek mythology, the king who's cursed in the underworld to carry this heavy, massive boulder and push it up a large mountain. Once he gets to the top, it slips and falls down all the way to the other side of the mountain. And he has to repeat this over and over again through all eternity. That's what it can feel like. This is what it's like to travail, to experience the pain of the fall of mankind, the curse on mankind, described in Genesis 3. After mankind's rebellion, God allows the consequence of our sin to infect everything that we do. Of humanity's labor and toiling, God says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." So it's in our labor and in our working the earth, in creating and being productive, we experience pain. Pain from what we're doing, pain from our exertion, and then eventually we're going to die anyways. It feels like pushing a heavy boulder up a mountain and it falling down the other side and us having to go and retrieve it again over and over and over. Living within every and any station of life can be described as travail. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 23, "For all his days are full of sorrow and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity." Now, Jesus here, when he's talking to those who travail, those who are weary and who labor, he's including those who need relief for their souls, those enslaved by the disposition to sin. We hear about this in Romans 7. Those striving after wicked things, who work by the flesh and for the flesh and experience the tiring limitations. St. Paul says in Galatians 5, "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, and on and on and on." And the burden of sin is crippling, especially those feeling the remorse and guilt as a consequence of what they have done. We almost feel like St. Paul, who exclaims, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death," in today's Romans chapter 7. The historic prayer book highlights travail as sin sickness. The historic confession saying, "The remembrance of our sins, of them, is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable." So today Jesus is speaking to a person who is a weary soul, one who experiences the effects of a sinful world, whether their own guilt and shame from others or the pain that is downstream from the curse of the fall of mankind. All can be described as travail. So what is Christ saying to one who travails, to the weary, to the heavy laden? "Come to me." This is an invitation. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." For those weary, worn down, crushed by sin and this sin-shattered world, if this is you, which it is, it's all of us, come to Jesus. This is an evangelistic invitation. And this passage follows Jesus' discussion discussing the impact of evangelism. If you remember in Matthew 10, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to, and he says this, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He sends them out to proclaim a message, an invitation. He concludes chapter 10 by saying, "Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me." And just before today's verse, in verse 27, Jesus says, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So this message, this invitation, is all about receiving Jesus, knowing him, and Christ being revealed to the one who receives. The text today has everything to do with the gospel. It's an invitation to come to Jesus in faith. He is saying, "Come to me." It's identical to drinking the waters of life and no longer thirsting. Revelation 22, the Holy Spirit and then the bride of Christ say, "Come." Let the one who hears say, "Come." And the one who is thirsty, "Come." And let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. It amounts to inheriting a kingdom prepared for you long before you ever existed. Matthew 25, we hear, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Now, this is not today. His address is not an invitation to more labor, more striving, to merit or to add good works to help us earn favor with God, but it's an invitation to the opposite, to rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest here is the felt answer to weariness. And think about it, nothing is quite as fulfilling as one who is tired and worn down who gets to rest. I'm reminded of when we physically put up that giant pavilion out back for the Pentecost feast, and Dan was sweating through his clericals, and I was tired, and you know what? That evening, I got a good night's sleep. Ecclesiastes 5 says as much, "Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much." It is a rest from labors, from warfare, from guilt and sin itself. And it is life-giving rest that refreshes the one in need. And it's a Sabbath rest, but it's greater than this. You know, Jesus speaks often of the Sabbath, especially with his run-ins with the Pharisees. And right after today's passage, if you look ahead, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is telling a group of Pharisees that he is Lord over the Sabbath. And immediately after this, he heals a man on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is on Jesus' mind when he gives this invitation. When we look elsewhere in Scripture in Colossians 2:17, we learn Jesus is the substance of which the Sabbath is only merely a shadow. And in concert with this, the author of Hebrews tells us a pivotal truth for our souls. Listen close. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Hebrews 4, verse 9 through 11. This is the same rest for the soul the Lord offers his people along ancient paths in Jeremiah 6. And it is a rest found only in Christ. Something greater than the Sabbath is clearly present in the person of Christ as he asks us to come and rest. This is a rest from our burdens, from the intensity of life under the sun. We place ourselves under the yoke of Christ, in which God himself carries our burdens. How comforting is it to know that it is God ultimately carrying your burdens? That not everything hangs on you. That there is another who is with you to give comfort. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And what is amazing is one of the chief ways we see the Lord easing our yoke, lightening our burden, is through the body of Christ, the church. And many of us have experienced this. Galatians chapter 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How have you felt this or seen the body of Christ at work in this way? Or maybe when you were weary, distressed, and you needed someone to lean on, to pray for and listen to, who did you go to? Know this, that Christ extends the offer of bearing a burden by means of his body. So if you are a weary, a sin-sick soul, physically, mentally drained, and at your wit's end, come. Approach him in faith who holds all things together, the good shepherd who cares for you. Come and rest. Put your trust in the one who can do more than you ask or imagine, who carries you and who cares for you just as he does little sparrows. Come, leave the distractions of a disordered, loud world. Come away for a little while. Spend time with him who holds eternity in his hand. Come, bring your asks every day. Cast your burdens on him every morning, moment by moment, in prayer, and he will sustain you. Come hear the gracious words he is speaking to you from his word. Yes, cutting and correcting at times, but proving that you are a son or a daughter to the king. Words that will bear, carry, and save you to the uttermost. Come drink from the waters of life. Come inherit the kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world. Come to him, all who are weary, who travail and toil, bearing burdens, heavy laden, and he will give you rest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.